This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard.
Hi, and welcome back to the Cosmic Eye Monthly Forecast Aries Season. I'm your host, Vanessa Montgomery, and today our special guest is Jason Holley. Welcome, Jason.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing your astro insights with us. You do counseling, astrology, psychotherapy as well, mm-hmm. don't you? Lecture. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. All the above. Yep.
We're in good company again. So, of course, Aries season. Let's go. So, super yang, cardinal, personal cardinal fire. So emphasis on the initiating burst of energy, the impulse, the spark ignites, and it's just all systems go pushing out through spring. Of course, here in the Southern Hemisphere, it's autumn. But I have to say, I still feel that excitement. What do you have any thoughts about that spring, autumn?
About the spring energy? Oh, you mean the hemisphere difference and how it might play through?
Yeah.
I am not really sure. From my perspective, yeah, the spring piece has always felt pretty compelling, that feeling of new things, new buds, new arrivals, and that kind of an energy in the air. But I mean, each of these cardinal points has some of that though, right?
Exactly.
It has this kind of opening energy. So whether it, you know, it would be Libra is the fall here and the fall, you know, fall there is Aries. And you can imagine that either way, there's a sense of something opening up, you know, like a new opening, a new forward energy. At least that's how I feel it.
Yeah. That's a really great way to put it, actually. And full disclosure, Jason is Libra. And I invited you, Jason, for this one because I felt like it would be interesting to see for Libra to do what Libra does, which is look at the other and tell us what you see.
That's great. I like
that. So, yeah, that's a really good way to put it. I like that a lot because I definitely still feel that cardinal push right now. And where I live, it's summer again, even though it's autumn. It's so warm, so it's not as confusing. But certainly astrology is based on the seasons and the sun's journey. So there is that. We do use all the seasonal references without knowing, really, don't we? That burst of energy, that spark, new beginnings, and, of course, beginning of the zodiacal year. And I've just learnt that the Iranian Persian New Year starts on the spring equinox.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 0 point Aries, which I didn't know. My neighbors are Persian. They had a New Year's party the other day. So qualities and traits of Aries, child at heart, the baby of the zodiac. I've noticed even older Aries think they're really young. Their way they speak about themselves, even in reference to other people, they see themselves as really young and do stay very youthful, I think, because of that. Indefatigable. You can't keep a good Aries down.
Very true. Yeah, very full of life. Yeah.
Full of life. So just like there's something really basic about them in a positive way. I'd like to hear, I'll just say, I think of that song Tub Thumping from years ago now. I think it was a drinking song, but it's I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. And they just repeat it over and over. I feel like that is Aries energy. It's very uncomplicated.
That does feel like very Aries. Yeah, because there is definitely a keep it simple kind of a quality to Aries energy and a very instinctual, not especially premeditated, not calculated. I mean, speaking of Libra, it's kind of the opposite of that, where Libra has that kind of distance objectifying, you know, the Aries energy is so instinctual. It's so just sort of like, this is here I am, you know. I often feel like that's the like here I am. I'm here. And
yes.
And you know, I'm just out of the gate. I'm fresh. I'm ready to go, you know.
They present. It's like just present. And there's no, don't need to explain anything. It's just here it is. It's basic. Let's go.
And as a result, it can feel like there's a lot of like courage, bravery, because there's just a willingness to kind of jump in. And it, you know, both because I think there is that kind of courage, but also there's just not a lot of calculation about how will it go. It's kind of just like, I'm just going to run for it. I'm going to run in there. And, you know, it's sort of like the fireman charging into the place that is burning down, you know, while everybody else is running out. It's like a combination of daring do and also just not really thinking a lot about the risks.
I think a bit, yeah. And oh, you said the word, the willingness. I love that. That's totally it. The willingness, and in willingness is the I will, you know, of Aries, I am. And I will, for sure, the will to live and push through.
And to just sort of to be like back to that being thing too, is like, there's an innocence in Aries energy that I think is one of the most beautiful aspects. You know, in the mythology, one of the parts of the myth of Chrysomalos, who was the golden fleece ram, which Aries is that ram, right? And so Chrysomalos was the main story about this ram. This was that he flew down and rescued two children whose stepmother was about to have them killed. And he flies down, rescues these children and flies them, you know, tries to fly them to safety. And that feels like a really Aries thing, like to really take the innocence, the innocent impulse, and really be committed to that impulse coming into the world, right? Like, I'm not going to let this impulse not come into the world. There's something just beautiful and just sourceful about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Uncomplicated. And you're looking very Aries in your fluffy white knit jumper. We've actually both worn white today. I think that must be that. Yeah. That blank
page. Pared down. Yeah. Pared down for sure. Yeah.
And right. The blank page of Aries. It's like, you can write anything you want. Like you were saying, like bursting through, not thinking ahead, just like, we'll see, like, let's just get in there. Right.
Yeah. And it's fresh.
And it makes me think of yesterday. I saw the pop star Lil Nas X.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Accepting awards. And he said he saw something that was about, you know, you must be delusional on TikTok. And he said, yeah, I am delusional. You have to be delusional. Like I had to be delusional. He's an Aries. And I see the Aries in him so much. He's just pushed through being not acceptable and dialing it up because of it, even more so. Yeah. So he said, yeah, of course I'm delusional. I had to be delusional to think a year after dropping out of high school, I would be in this position to come out, you know, as gay at the height of my career, that a number one song about two men loving each other is the number one song in the world. Yeah, I have to be delusional. We all have to be delusional. And I thought that's Aries. Like, you know, nothing's going to get you down. You have to go for it. And it's such a beautiful quality to draw on, especially I think in these times there's a lot of fear really dominating, and that Aries will to live and that will to just I will. It's just unstoppable, and it's a really nice opportunity this month to tap into that, because we all have it somewhere in our chart.
And it's making a space for oneself. I mean, that's what I hear when you speak about what you shared. It's like, that's the powerful energy about Aries, is willing to make a space. I mean, Aries is the sign of the sun's exaltation, right? It's like, it's like the spake a space, like I'm going to take up space. I'm going to shine and giving, you know, really turning everything that happens into an opportunity to do that. You know, it's like, that's again and again. And a lot of times you find that Aries energy often feels like almost like a booster shot to a situation where maybe one has been exiled or not allowed to be who one, kind of what he's sharing there. It's like, and the Aries energy is that boost that kind of says, no, you can do it. And that's one of the things, is like, I know many people who are very inspired by his journey. And and I think about, like, Aries has the ability to like take up space for themselves, but they're also very powerful at empowering and inspiring other people to do the same. Yes. Like it's that whole thing about when you step in, you naturally make space for other people to step in.
The pioneer.
Pioneer, exactly. Yeah. And it really, that empowered ability to inspire and empower people to really fully inhabit their space is a real Aries thing that I love. Yeah. I'm really glad you brought that up. I didn't know that he was an Aries.
Aries. So yeah, that's true. When you say that shot, that booster shot, I really like that. It makes me think of that. What's that shot to the heart they do to bring you back to life?
Epinephrine, or maybe, I'm not sure. I don't know.
But I think
we know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And of course, Aries is ruled by Mars with the sharp object that cuts or pierces. And I think that's actually a really good image for that Aries shot when you need it.
Well, and because sometimes it's delivered when you don't need it too, it can be really like an overload, like a too stimulating or something.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, stimulating is the word, whether for the right or wrong. Super yang, super stimulating. Yeah, so I think move fast, love speed, adrenaline junkie, thrill seeker, more coffee. I know Aries that just they love that. They just want to they want more coffee, they want more stimulation. And of course, then you've got to find the balance in that, which is where we see our Libra friends. Calm down. I have moon in Aries, and I find one of my favorite combos with people is people with moon in Libra. It's just they're so chill, so balancing, and they seem to handle the Aries really well. And they'll just point out that you're being how one is being, but it doesn't ruffle them. They just stay chill, and it's everyone's okay.
I mean, I think it's so much that fire and air thing, where the fire is very charged with, it has a charge, and air has such a neutrality to it that they help each other because, it can be too neutral and need to be heated up a little, need to be stimulated,
but it can shoved around,
vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the polarity. Totally. Yeah. Like every sign's polarity is just so incredibly balancing. So how do you feel about Aries as a Libra? What are your personal astrological insights?
I love the energy of Aries, and I love the enthusiasm and kind of the not getting caught in wondering how will this go or what are people going to think about it. Those are the Libra preoccupations, right? How will this affect the field of relations? and I can't do anything until I understand how everything, it's always everything's a chess game in a way, how will this reconfigure all the situations.
Yeah.
And one has the feeling with Aries of generally just moving into the field and assuming that the field will recalibrate to the person. Of course, that can be problematic, obviously, but actually a lot of times it's the basis of more authentic relating, right? Because you're just here I am. I mean, that's a thing I feel about Aries planets is when you meet a person's Aries planets, what you see is usually what you get, right? It's very it's really authentic. It's really, it's not playing games. That part of the chart, I mean, everybody can play a game, but that part of the chart generally doesn't have that type of orientation. It's just not that much in the head of the other person, which is, we need to be in our own experience as well as be attending to the other. So I think Libra and Aries, they have this great potential to balance that because of that, those capacities. But the thing I, as a Libra, tend to have more Aries envy for is just the ability to just throw oneself into a situation and not really be preoccupied with the experience of other people.
Yeah, totally. And it's amusing though, isn't it? When you have a laugh about the signs, I find it's easy to have a laugh at Aries, but probably because they do put themselves out there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a vulnerability to it, isn't there? There's a kind of an uncalculated openness to seeing what happens. And in a sense, and that's also, I think of Aries also as very much because perhaps also the first sign, it's always in a learning experience. And part of the learning is by putting yourself out there in new situations again and again, you rapidly learn, So it's got a lot of ways to keep things moving. Just not getting caught up in a lot of the self-consciousness that paralyzes people a lot of the time.
No self-consciousness.
And that we're taught we should be doing, right? There's a lot of energy in the world about, you should be always thinking about how everybody else is experiencing. It's a kind of a codependent mentality that And of course there's a place for that too, right? I mean, we, you know, but I do think Aries is a nice reminder that if you don't start from yourself, then you're off balance no matter what you do next.
Yeah.
You have to start. You're located here.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so
true. Self-centered is not a bad thing.
Like, yeah. You have to be centered in yourself.
I mean, how else can you move in a world where you are located somewhere? You know,
yeah,
you've
exactly.
got to be where you're located. So
exactly.
whereas, you know, Libra process tends to want to locate outside of the self, and again, useful, but can be very lose its instinctual,
yeah.
you know, just like yeah. basic. Yeah.
I find with the Aries impulse to, yeah, when you feel the impulse to act, act.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're going to be in flow with the universe, you have to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Not like impulsive, like if you drink too much, drink. More like take an action. You know, if mm-hmm. you hesitate, I've found in the past, if I hesitate and don't just go with that, I just missed something. Mm-hmm. I had to be mm-hmm. in that flow for everything mm-hmm. to work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it can be immediate. Yeah. It can be immediate as well. It's very intuitive, which is fire, I guess.
Fire, yeah, I think that's very much the fire experience. Yeah, it's very immediate. And very, yeah, I always say, like, to me, the saying for Aries is don't just stand there, do something, you know. And the saying for Libra, by the way, is don't just do something, stand there.
I like,
and they're both valid, right? I mean, but I think Aries is like, let's make this happen, right? It's like, you know, it wants to kind of get in there. And I always feel like, you know, from a mythological standpoint, coming back to the Jason and the Golden Fleece story, which is the basis of Aries, right? Like, or the basis of the story. One of the things that Jason is dealing with is that there's not a space for him. Like, he's supposed to be the heir to the throne, but he has been pushed out of that. So it's like he comes into the earth and is immediately, you know, exposed, and kind of they try to kill him and all that. And then eventually he has to come in, but he has to really claw his way back to the throne, right? And do all these things to take his natural place in the world. And so there's this constant return to just instinctual, okay, I have to keep, there's a survival instinct in this too. And we tend to say, and some spiritualized circles, like, oh, you know, survival instinct, you want to get past that. But actually, to make it inform, you need a good working survival instinct,
yeah.
right? Like that's part of living in a world of form. Like, you know, so Aries, I think, continuously gets put back to that, and, you know, moves forward from that. Yeah.
And would they want it if they didn't get all the challenges? Like, probably challenges are the best part, and they might knock something over so they get another challenge anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Agreed. Yep.
So all about the challenge for Aries. They need it. They love it. Like, mm-hmm. I think having an Aries kid would be really interesting, because you just like shove it on a sports field or give it something that it needs to do. Like, some mm-hmm. of the signs would be particularly easy that way. Like, off mm-hmm. you go, get in the pool, 20 laps.
And then I think the thing about Aries is they'll do it somehow. They'll make it their own, you know, they'll do it their own way in some way or another. Like, it's never going to be, Aries doesn't read the instruction manual, right? I mean, it just jumps in, and it's very interesting. I always feel like Aries Aries planets, when you meet them in a person's chart, it's that place in them that just doesn't even consider that they might not be able to do something, right? They just, it doesn't even get to that point. So why would you read them? Of course, I'll just jump in and do it, because there's not even a factoring of like, oh, I might need a certain expertise, or I might need help, or I might need, you know, there's kind of just a sense of like, why wouldn't I go ahead? And so as a result, you have some Aries people who really do extraordinary things because they didn't have any sense that they couldn't do it, right? It's like,
yes.
And that is a really powerful gift. I mean, it can get you into trouble. It can make you break things that you should have read the man, you know, all that can happen.
Read the room.
Do see these extraordinary, you do see some extraordinary, you know, feats of that happened, because they just didn't have that voice that said, you can't do that. Those planets in the chart managed not to hear the other voices like Saturn and others that would say, oh, you can't do this. They just don't hear that. They're just like, yeah, I can do that. Why wouldn't I be able to?
Yeah.
Not even factored in. Yeah.
the pioneering spirit again and blazing trails, the entrepreneur. There must be a lot of entrepreneurs with strong Aries or Aries placements. There's so many great highlights about Aries, and any Aries listening to this will be feeling really great right now and agreeing. So let's cut to the pitfalls, the other side of the coin. There's, you know, of every sign, there's two, you know, so a strength in one area is, you know, a pitfall in another area. So I'll start us off. I would say the impulsiveness is both, you know, a positive in the right situation and not a positive in the other situation. There's a meme that I really like, and it's Kermit the Frog on, it says Aries on the, you know, payday, and then it's, you know, all excited with the money, and then Aries 2 days later and it's just lying there like with no money. And Terry thinks straight away. Right. And I thought they nailed it.
The immediate impulse. Gratification. Yeah. There's a very strong like gratification, like right now, give it to me now. And I'm going to have fun right now.
Spend it all.
Yeah. There's not a lot of sense of time, like, you know, of past or future. Neither of those are really in play. It's right now is what we have. Which is
what's so great as well. Like, this is how I feel right now, like being in the present.
Oh, great point. Yeah, because that's one of the things, just to add another one on the positive side there. So I always feel that Aries is, while they're quick to feelings like anger or whatever, they're also quick to forgive and let go and like not hold a grudge and that kind of thing. You know, the now is where we are. And so there's not a holding on, which is actually quite a lovely thing, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'll say, like, my dealings with Aries, I like that I always know where I stand. Because I'm not so great at sometimes reading the room either. If people aren't direct, because I'm pretty direct, so I just like people to say. I can't work it out otherwise. And Aries will always just be so simple and just be able to say things, and it's cool. So we've gone from pitfall to back to how awesome Aries is. So let's get back to, I guess, the temper is well known. As well, the heat, headache, heat, rage or temper. And not all Aries have a temper, you know, not putting that out there, but it's just one of those things that gets associated with, you know, rushes over like a flame, but then it's good, gone, clear. The innocence can work against them for sure, because there's
certain naivety.
Bored without a challenge. So just need to be in a job or situation where there's always a challenge. That's all, like, just placing in the right place. Really great at starting things.
there's a dot, dot, dot after that, isn't there?
Bored now. Not finishing, starting lots of things is the cardinal signs. So that restlessness, impatience. Perhaps not being so refined or doing a refined job, I do find can be a pitfall with Aries, depending on, you know, you'd only hire them for certain jobs because they're not going to polish something. They're just going to, they'll get it going and they'll make it happen, better to happen than not at all, you know, that sort of thing. What would you like to say about any pitfalls, or is Libra like, no, I don't want to like say anything?
I don't want to offend anybody. Well, luckily I have plenty of planets that are willing to offend.
Okay, great.
I will resource from them now. I'll speak from them. The biggest thing that comes up for me with Aries is the possibility of really being locked into one's own perspective. And the I don't think Aries planets as a rule have a theory of the other. Like, in other words, they don't have a mentalization of the interior world of the other person or the world or any of that. And that's not what they should have, right? Isn't the right word, but they're really here to be in their own experience. But the result of not having a notion of how others are really does set you up to possibly have more difficulties than necessary, right? Like that's where we need squares from Cancer, Capricorn, and oppositions from Libra to kind of open that one singular system up a little bit to the rest of the world. You know? So that's one thing. And another for me is this tendency to kind of expect opposition, you know, that a lot of times I find when Aries planets get into complex states, like that, people will have an unconscious expectation that they're going to have to to fight, right? It's the Mars rulership. It's like, it's almost like it's not at ease just saying, I'm just going to take my place in the world. It's like, I'm going to fucking take my place.
That's it. You know. Yes, absolutely.
So it's a little bit like, it kind of tends to constellate opposition unnecessarily, right? Like, you know, it doesn't have to be a fight always. Like sometimes it's a fight to take your place in the world. Like for Jason and the myth, it's a fight, right? Like he's got to push in. But there are moments in life when people are very ready for you to be part of things and to be all of, you know, bring your freak, fly your freak flag and all of it. And yet for an Aries energy, if it has experienced prior rejections and, you know, not enough space to be me, it will assume that I'm going to have to fight. And so it will create, it just creates more combat than is needed.
And loving it. But they probably, you're right, they probably have had opposition, you know, and depending who they are, where they come from, like I always think of, you know, women with placements like Aries in a culture that is the opposite.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the biggest things I feel. It's, you know, I had an Aries stepmother who had several Aries placements and Sag rising. So, I mean, you know, this is somebody who's really going to do what they are in theater. And because I feel very strongly that, and we were in West Virginia, but Appalachia, very misogynist culturally, where I was at least at that point. And she could never keep a job, you know, and it was because she was very independent spirited and wanted to do things her own way. But I feel strongly that it was the misogyny layer that made it be a fireable offense, right? If it was a guy. The gender situation for women with Aries placements is something I feel really attuned to how, like if I see that in a chart and hear even just a little bit on that, I will tend to move there because I feel like it needs naming. It's a space where we're all constantly, you know, harmed by patriarchal realities, but particularly that particular situation is one that really, I see. And when it's named, there's often a way that there's a relaxation, a little bit less about being personal. Something's wrong with me.
Yeah, exactly. And it's nice to have the support and validation. Although, I mean, it's so built into to Aries again, too. I'll just bust through it and you won't keep me down. Thankfully. But yeah, it's something I feel very attuned to as well. Having moon in Aries and a lot of fire, I really relate to it, and being female and looking girly, I suppose. Like I'm not big, I'm small-ish, and people don't, when they look at me, they don't see what I actually am because of all the cultural stuff. Right, and it surprises people. They're like, oh my God, you're hard as steel. Yeah. So I really go in hard with supporting the Aries placements as well. And Aries, like little Aries kids, like I really relate to them, the little girls, and the little boys too. But the boys are like, okay, the girls get pushed back and you can just see the Aries in there. I'm just like, you go, girl, you do whatever you want. And I'll like really push them and they're like loving it. Yeah, it's an interesting one. And again, that's why I just think of Lil Nas X. He's done it on such a grand scale. And yeah, again, just gone for it. But he's got so many people supporting him as well. Like you were saying earlier, people do come in and support that because...
Yeah. I mean, it's very charismatic. Inspiring. That's another word that comes to mind with Aries is there's a charisma. Yes. And it's this charisma from just sort of, again, the lack of the idea that it won't work, you know, lack of the idea that it can't do it.
This is how it's going to be.
It's going. And people tend to, you know, I mean, honestly, I think it can go both ways. It can, people either line up with you or they can also, you know, stand in the way. Like both kind of, you know, both.
You'll get both. But it's very inspiring, which is fire. Yeah. Definitely lights flames around you if you light your own. If you, the brighter you blaze. So on that note, things to do in Aries season. Light some fires, blaze some trails.
Well, I do think there is something about fire in Aries season. I mean, there, you know, that is like there is, you know, in terms of also, you know, to me, Aries season is also a time where you are kind of feeling the entrance into the next season, as we were saying before. And then there is something about, you know, blazing the trail, right? Like, and burning up whatever is not serving, right? Mm. Like letting go of that. I mean, it's one of the things that people don't know. A lot of people don't realize is that at one point, you know, Pluto was like when they were trying to decide the rulerships of the modern planets, right? The lineup was going to be Uranus, Aquarius, Neptune, Pisces, Pluto, Aries. That's where the rulership was going to be assigned at one for the modern rulers, right?
Oh, really?
Of course, we know it ended up the moderns went with Pluto into Scorpio, but I think they were onto something with Pluto into Aries. And just in that sense of like, you know, and burning it up, like, you know, like you know, there are moments where you just have to light it all on fire and be, you know, go for it. I mean, burning your bridges, like, you know, all those kinds of things. There are moments to do that, right?
Yes.
There are moments for that. And Aries season is sometimes when we see those. Never look back. Exactly. Like someone leaving an abusive relationship for Aries season is a great time to leave situations that are not working. You know, of course, as a Libra, and I'm always like, oh, is there, how can you make it work? And how do we find a way? But the reality is sometimes that the way is to walk away, right? Mars was a knife, right? The symbol for Mars is a knife.
Yes, it cuts. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Sometimes you got to cut. So if there are things that you feel like you've been kind of contorting yourself to make them keep working, Aries season can be a time to say, you know, I don't need to do that. I can walk away. That's an option, at least on the table.
So things to do in Aries season, Jason says, walk away.
Maybe.
If that is what needs, it's funny because I will say walk away. I'll be like, bring the focus back to you. Okay. You're the important one here. I think there's too much emphasis on a relationship at all costs. Mm-hmm. Is that what's happening here? Mm-hmm. And, you know, leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, one way might be to say too, is like, I mean, it's interesting because when I used to do a lot of stuff with couples and couples counseling and stuff, like I always want people to go for what they want in their relationship, right? Go for it hard, which is very Aries and Libra together, right? Like go for, don't just submit into it. Like just go Libra and kind of lose yourself and be in the relationship. You also don't have to go all Aries. Like I'm going to be me, which means I can't be in relationship. There's a way to try to go for being you in the relationship. But during Aries season, if you've tried that and it's not happening, that's a good moment to say, I can't be in a relationship where I don't get to be me, right? Mm. That's an Aries wisdom. So that's one thing.
I do remember, like, generally there's that thing of through winter, people just kind of stay in relationships and huddle down. Maybe it's for like younger people in less established situations, but a lot of people breaking up around spring. And I have just seen that, a lot of people breaking up around now. Mm. And I think that's basically what you're talking about. It is that energy. And if there's going to be a time, this is a time because it's time to start new things as well and go forward fresh.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that would be the other one. I would say Aries season is also a great time to be brave and tell someone you're interested, right? Or be brave and go for the job you haven't been, you've been telling yourself you're not ready for, or, you know, like be brave and initiate something. In other words, you know, go, you know, like there's an ending energy, I think, that's very meaningful, but there's also a kind of take a leap, you know?
Take a leap. Yeah. So things to do in Aries season, go for it.
Right. Yeah. I think that's really, that's the big one.
Absolutely. What's the worst that could happen? You could get it.
And the other one might be too, is like, you know, one of the things that I love about Aries too, is there is a protecting the innocent quality, right? In Aries, right? That's really there. And I, you know, I think about like the situation unfolding in the Ukraine and the way that people are talking about, we're staying and fighting because this is our home, or this is where my children, this is where meaning in my life is, this is where my soul is connected. And they're activating an Aries energy. And, you know, often Aries feels like the underdog comeback is a total Aries story, right? And I don't know how that will all play through, but it's like that notion of like, I can do it under impossible circumstances, right? Aries is also the mother picking the car up off her child.
Yes, the superhero.
Yeah, it's that kind of energy. And so, you know, taking off the glasses and saying, you know, Clark Kent no more is an option.
The air sign's the one yeah, the journalist with the glasses and the little shirt.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And then
right.
Aries. I love that. And that was one of the things I want to bring up, actually, was the superhero is such an Aries archetype. It's mm-hmm, basic. Mm-hmm. It's uncomplicated. It just mm-hmm. rushes in with mm-hmm. full confidence.
Yeah. Oh,
so inspiring. I love it. Mm. So speaking of superheroes, who do you have a classic sign that speaks volumes about Aries for you?
Yeah, well, I actually, your glasses are part of what have taken me there, but I was thinking of Elton John's chart because Elton John had Sun in Aries, Moon in Taurus.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
And that is definitely somebody who was really like threw himself out there. I don't know if you saw the film that they made in the last couple of years. I don't remember the name of it now.
I did.
But it was a biopic.
Loved it.
Yeah. And it was very much showing this kind of like, I'm going to just do what I do. And really, like, that's what's going to happen.
Yes.
And then even the sort of, there was a psychological plot kind of underneath about it. You know, it was about like connecting to the child within, you know, the innocent child that the parents had not been interested in and shamed and all of that. And so that is also this Aries innocent child, the divine child, right? Is an Aries archetype. And one of the things you can feel in Elton John's presentation is this warrior orientation that is fighting for the freedom for that divine child to express. And so it becomes quite bright, right? There's a
light. And so fire with all the color and large statement, like visually.
Yeah,
like
over the top and not shy and not afraid of taking up space. In fact, quite sure that it's time to take up space. Yeah. And also very oriented towards a lot of conflict as you know, that film also showed, but it's like not necessarily somebody who's necessarily easy to relate with unless you get on their terms. And that's also one of the Aries things, right? Like my experience with Aries energy, with those planets in someone's chart, like if I'm working with them, I really have to make it clear to the Aries planets that we're on the same side. Then that will allow other things to happen.
With liberate insight there. That's gold. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. So that you position yourself before they can position you as opposition.
Exactly. Because there is that tendency to position others as opposite. Yeah.
And Aries does like a good dust up too. I do always say that about Aries. They like to be physical and get in the ring because that's how they get to know themselves. So mm-hmm. they might in some ways be okay with positioning like they'll shove you with their shoulder or just that physicality, like the little kids, even the girls, boys, doesn't matter. They'll like want to wrestle their parents or wrestle other kids. And there is that. So Libra's like, look, we're on the same team here. Shoving me around.
Right. That's true. And I think that is actually one of the things with Aries, now that you mentioned, is like one of the ways that Aries works is that, they're kind of constantly, you know, can be pushing over people, secretly hoping that somebody's going to do
back.
This, right?
Yes.
And that's the kind of, that's Martian contact, right? That's Martian intimacy, right? Like Venusian intimacy is different, but Martian intimacy is beating on the mat, right? And actually, if your Aries planet, if we can fight and the person fights fair, you kind of made it past the price of admission to really be a fellow warrior, which is what an Aries can, you're going to have to either be an enemy or a fellow warrior. You kind of want to be seen as the side-by-side warrior, right? Like you don't want to be.
Yes.
And I mean warrior too, right? Like not soldier. Aries energy, soldier energy is more like Aries energy squared by a Capricorn planet.
Yeah, good
doing
point.
What the administration tells me to, military, you know. But the Aries energy is warrior energy, right? It's like it has a path. It has a I find that a lot of times all that bulldozing is really just hoping that it's almost provocative to see will this person
I think both Mars ruled signs, Scorpio too, provocative is a key word. Like Scorpio, you can't just let Scorpios walk all over you. Like they want, because they will, and they want you to, they need to respect you. They want to see that you can stand up for yourself and they feel safe. Yeah. It's Mars. It's action. Give them some. All right. So my classic sign is Ann Lister. I mean, I may as well have gone with Lil Nas, but I think I have mentioned him before. So Ann Lister from the series Gentleman Jack. Do you see that?
I didn't see it. No.
Oh, she is, she's from the early 1800s and she has got a massive stellium in Aries with the South Node, Sun, Moon, Saturn, Mars, Mercury.
Wow.
A lot of fire. And she wrote 27 diaries about herself. So someone had called them it's like a love dedication to herself, which I thought was really Aries.
That is.
Her family had found them and boarded them up in the walls so that it didn't create a scandal. And they were finally found like over a century later and have been turned into a book and a series. So she was said to be an unmanageable tomboy and sent to boarding school. Then because of rebellious behaviour, she was sent to live in the attic with another girl. So she realised she was gay. And then the diaries were boarded up, like there's all this boarding and try to hide the Aries, but the Aries still busted out because then these diaries were found at the right time when they would be acceptable and now the whole world knows about her and the family. So she, you know, she was gay in a time where there was like nothing. You couldn't even find other people. Just that, again, that Aries impulse to I'm going to do what I want. And you see all the intimate inside of that and her talking about that in this time, and it's just so Aries. It's just like, no, I deserve this, like that fight to go through when she talks about so many other women just get married, they can't get a job, they have to, like, what are they going to do? So and they're going with the pressure of the time. She's got Uranus trine some of the Aries as well. I think that really helps
active,
but what does it take to live your life your way consciously, like it was a conscious decision for her. And I think it's a really good study in that Aries energy. It shows her striding about the place all the time. And, you know, they might really make that a feature. And I find that's very Aries, like very head first. And there's all these head moments that I just think, did they look at her chart or they've just obviously gotten it from the diaries? But I always think, do they consult an astrologer on these things? So that's so classic. There's one quote that she said, it talked of the management my temper required. So management my temper Aries. Required.
That's perfect. Yeah.
So I'll leave it at that for her, but I wanted to use a quote actually from Will Smith, who has Saturn in Aries. Opposite his North Node in Venus. He's also a Sun in Libra person. So he's got all these planets over one side and then he's got this Saturn over the other. And he's got all these really great motivational speeches about overcoming fear. So this is one. He says, I'm having the realization that you have to be able to go. The hesitation is the thing that really messes up your chance at having your dream. Get out of the middle. The moment of pushing off is pure freaking terror, but there's nothing to hold on to. You're trying to hold on to an idea or hold on to a person. You've got to just get comfortable falling. Life is dangerous. The only way to really enjoy it is jump in and be free.
Wow, so, what a beautiful way of speaking from Saturn and Aries and the lessons that he's obviously learned.
Exactly.
Working with that very difficult placement. Wow.
Absolutely. Really cool. And in an opposition as well. So
and all the Libra stuff, right?
Yeah. And he's really sharing from something that he's had that challenge. And as astrologers, we understand that's been his journey.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a gorgeous quote.
And there's quite a lot on that if you look that up. And I think I just love that he is being that mentor, doing the leadership of the Aries as well. So next segment is monthly moons. So we've got a new moon in Aries at 11 degrees on the 1st of April at 2:24 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It will be conjunct Mercury and Chiron. So there's a stellium, Sun. It goes, Mercury, Moon, Sun, Chiron. So new moon with Mercury and Chiron in there. New moons, I always like to set intentions. So set intentions around, you know, for the next year, maybe with a peak at the full moon. Some people just do a monthly one. So I always include the area of the chart as well as, you know, classic Aries things like what you want to start, whatever maybe you have been challenged by that you need to get through. So Chiron's in there and the Mercury. So yeah, that's the thing with Aries at the moment is the Chiron moving slowly through and all the Chiron and Aries themes that have been coming up. So I guess if that's, you know, wounding around action, it's interesting. There's literally fighting like this war on and it's hitting the news. So I guess if there's any fear as well, like that overcoming of fear, you know, and shift it, making that shift into that warrior side, you know, whatever happens, I'm ready and I can handle it and we can handle it as well.
And it's, you know, it's, yeah, there, it reminds me of an old book, whose title I really liked, which was, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's not about dissociating the fear. It's like, no, fear is here. And it's a little bit, as people have said, you know, courage isn't the absence of fear, right? It's being with the fear and still moving on somehow. I mean, one of the things about an Aries moon with Chiron and Mercury that I really think of is actually some encouragement someone gave me about something I'm going through right now and basically just said, you know, yeah, go through what you're going through, but keep moving forward, right? Just like, and it doesn't have to be any big movement. It doesn't like you have to leap. I mean, it's Chiron. You can limp forward.
drag yourself bleeding.
But Mercury and Chiron together says move, right? Like move slowly, you know, limp if you must, like, but let yourself move forward. And it's interesting. A few days ago, we had a small celebration here of Holi, the Indian festival of colors that happens on the last lunation before the equinox, right? And it's a spring festival. And it felt a little bit in the atmosphere, at least that I am around, where people are really anxious about some of what's going on with the war, as well as just all the various existential anxieties of living at this time in reality. living during a Pluto and Capricorn time. But it can feel like, you know, do we dare experience joy? Do we dare experience fun and hope? And I, and in Aries season, I think we must answer yes to that. Like we have to be, to dare to do that. And that doesn't mean that we are forgetting the cares of our lives or of the people we love or of the world. It actually is perhaps like what Aries does best is to embody what you want in the world, like embody that. You will find yourself. It induces that in the field. So there's something really powerful in that, that I feel in this moon. Now that we're talking about it, I was just sort of feeling like, I'm really scared with Chiron and Aries, right? I'm really, you know, but this movement wants to happen okay to be excited about something.
That's a fantastic point. And I have to say, when I really like tapping into the fire signs and Aries because of that, I love tapping in, even like tapping into start like preparing for this episode. I can really even really feel the shift. And I've got so much fire in my chart. It all it lights up, you know, like Christmas. So there is that. But it just feels so good. Like it does push everything away. Actually, I think it really makes a shift and it's not trying to avoid, it is a shift that can happen, but it can only happen from where you are. So if you push it away and you're not centered, you can't get the shift.
Right. And it will naturally lead to action, you know, like it will just naturally lead to that. One won't have to force anything because it will just, that's what that energy will naturally do. If we just take a minute to really enter it and be willing to experience it. And also, you know, not be afraid that whatever we do might be distorted and a distorted expression of it, right? Like there's often a fear of letting ourselves go into those more primal states because there's a fear of like, oh, it's really weird in there. Or I might, you know, I might say something really unacceptable or, you know, but you kind of have to go in there and see what it's going to do. And that's actually where the power is. That's actually where the energy is. But it's again, an Aries gift, I think, to drop in.
A good point with the Aries and the shift and certainly the Chiron and you will survive. I've just, you know, it's just moved off my moon. Finally, it's been 2 years, it's been nice just staying home, keeping out of trouble, potential trouble. So then we have the full moon. which is, oh, I've got it written down, full moon in Libra at 26 degrees, and that's April 16 at 2:55 p.m. Eastern. So full moon in Libra. Oh, I didn't write down the little
square thing. Pluto, I'm guessing.
Yes, it's in a T-square. The details are right. In T-square with Pluto, but it's also trine Saturn, nice and stabilizing, and trine Mars. Square Pluto. All right. That's a kicker. Power, domination.
Yeah, it's really, it takes a minute to absorb, I think, just to kind of like, wow, that is a pretty powerful, a powerful full moon, right? It's just, it's really, really
Capricorn,
bringing something into, you know, for me, full moons are so much about illumination and, you know, making something as clear as it can be made, right? And it's just like it's the brightest the moon can be. It's the most we can see of this body. And to me, the thing about full moons is the willingness to see what it is that they are showing, right? It's like, you know, I always, you know, you always hear from the psych nurses and the ER nurses about how, you know, the full moon periods are, and I always feel the reason or the logic of that is just that it's like the full moon reveals so much of what is hidden at night, right? It reveals a lot of that material. And so with the Pluto square, one would expect really revelation of ways that power structures are set us against ourselves, right? And I'm thinking internally. I'm not very much of a collective orient. I mean, of course, we all watch the world and have our theories about it, but I'm not a mundane astrologer by any means. But if I think internally too, I just think about it. It would really illuminate the ways that we are like internalized powers, like internalized racisms, homophobias, misogynies, those types of dynamics, internalized family thing, like things that set us against ourselves would be really opened up because those Pluto things are those sort of secret powers that operate, right? Like, even in those of us who feel most free of some of those discourses and 100%. Really live in many ways free, but this would be a time when I would expect to really notice ways I might be in my own way.
Those power structures, because it's in Capricorn as well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking when you say the internal versus the external, I mean, you're going to see or understand the external from how your internal setup is anyway. So it's just a mirror.
Yeah, agreed.
So notice that even if you're not so internal about it. If, you know, I just notice some people are like terrified of what's happening and there's a lot of fear and it's like, oh, this isn't over. But, you know, I've been doing a lot of, over the last couple of years, a lot of looking back in history, a lot more than I ever have before. And, you know, times were tougher, this is nothing compared to what's happened before, you know, and we survive and we can survive. And I think that's the Aries in me as well. That's just like, I'm not having it. I'm not having the fear. I'm over the media. I'm just not having it. And it's even more reason to shift into that. Like you were saying, yeah, that shift into the warrior is just, it's so important. And yeah, maybe this moon will really illuminate those essential fears factor as well.
Illuminating fear is a helpful thing. Yeah, exactly. I think that's really, and the picture I just now got for some reason was in the Tintin comics. You know, I don't know if you know that.
Yeah,
French comics. Yeah. So I just got an image. I can remember one where Tintin is going into a cave with a light, you know, and that's what I see with a, you know, Aries intrepid, like, here I go. I'm going down there, right? With the light of the full moon in Libra, I'm going into Pluto's underworld. You know, it's like that's the image of that T-square that I just now have. And it's like we could do this. We could, you know, like it can be done. Like you can go in there.
It's always an opportunity.
And there's riches down there. That's what we know, right? Like we know that Pluto was also a god of wealth. Yeah.
100% like atomic energy. There's so much wealth and energy if you're willing to be okay with it.
Yeah.
and transform it. It takes so much energy to repress it and keep it hidden.
And
stop other people from showing it even more so. So I think, you know, those things can be a bit sparky at the time. So just know that for the full moon. And if something gets triggered, just give it the space and don't bite.
And it does sound like that Saturn trine and sextile to the Sun Moon has, you mentioned that will be, that feels steadying potentially, right?
Yes.
It's just steadying so that we sort of go very thoughtfully into what is happening. And there's
and the shift with the trine support to the Mars, like can move it along. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's all nice. Good. Just, yeah, be aware. Yeah, they're both trines, of course. So Saturn's at 23 Aquarius, right, and Mars has just gone into Pisces and it's at 1 degree.
Because what I think is really interesting about that is just that, you know, those are the two so-called malefics. And my way of thinking about malefics is that they are each the protector of their sect. You know, the Saturn is the protector of the day sect and all that it values. And Mars is the protector of the night sect and all that it values. And so you have, to this full moon now, we can see you have, you know, trine the moon and sextile the sun. You have the two protectors of the pantheon, you know? So that's really, again, I'm kind of back to my Tintin image and I'm like, oh, he's got good backup, right? Like Mars and Saturn are your protector backups if there ever are any. So that's great. Yeah. Cool.
That's true.
That
like
makes
it.
Me feel a little better.
Yeah, good. Good. So yeah, that's interesting. And it's interesting if you apply that to, I'm just going to say the Ukraine thing now, that's like what their attitude seems to be, actually.
I mean, it's remarkable.
Amazing.
We never really can claim to know what we do in a situation like that till we're in it, but to see what many of them are doing,
they've done that.
So powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. Very inspiring.
Yeah.
So the headlines, the headline, there's a massive headline this month, which is what we've all been waiting for the last 166 years, is the Jupiter conjuncting Neptune in Pisces at 23 degrees on April 12th at 10:42 exactly a.m. But it's already in now, obviously. And that is also our opportunity signature and election date. That's it. So I'm already feeling that for sure. It feels really great. And I'm taking time off. So how are you going to be spending this and why? Are you going to do something special? Are you taking time off? Are you going to like do some magic?
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm going to do a workshop here in Santa Fe, just a couple of days either before or after. I haven't determined the exact date yet, but where we will actually use astrodrama to embody the planets, right, and play out this and look at where it falls in each person's chart and kind of, play that out with them, because it is such a visionary, you know, there's such a visionary quality to it, right? Like a, you know, to me, that would be a really powerful day for like, and maybe I'll, on the actual day, maybe this is what we'll end up doing. It's like tripping with psilocybin or something, like something that alters consciousness. To me, there's just such an opening for open-hearted, wide open kind of allowing. And, you know, the thing that I love about Jupiter in Pisces that I've felt all the time is like, there's this great quote in Audre Lorde's essay, The Uses of the Erotic, where she writes that she says, and I really like this, is such a Jupiter word, the aim of, you know, the Jupiter is, you know, has an aim, like it looks towards something, right? And the aim of each thing we do is to make our lives and the lives of our children richer and more possible. And I feel that's such a Jupiter in Pisces and Neptune in Pisces added to that, you know, it's like, and I would add our lives, our children's lives, and also the lives of all our relations on the planet. I mean, you know, animal and creatures and ancestors, yeah. But this idea of making things richer and more possible is so just right though, for me, for Jupiter, Neptune and Pisces. It's like, and it's again, kind of what we were saying earlier. It's like, even as we go through all this stuff that's going on and we are, you know, in a sort of a necessary apocalypse right now, even as we are in that, the Jupiter-Neptune space is where we really give ourselves permission to imagine post-apocalyptic ecologies, right? Like to imagine what are the imaginal cells that are being born right now that will offer different ways of being and living and different ways of being human itself as we move into whatever is emerging, right? It's like, I feel this is a really an exciting project that all of us are in. It's like, how do we want to do this thing? How do we want to see what is possible?
Absolutely.
So that's some of my energy around it. Yeah.
I think that's so true though. It's anything is possible. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to manifest? Like, where are you putting your attention?
And the radicalness of it, you know, Demetra did a talk recently at AstroU on Neptune and its connection to the Great Awakening and other radical movements like women's suffrage and so on back in when it was during its discovery time, right? Mm. And it's kind of an understated discussion of, or not her, but in the astrology world broadly, there's an understated understanding of Neptune. Neptune's not really necessarily thought about that way, right? But we also have to remember that when Neptune went into Pisces is when you had Occupy Wall Street, and like you had a whole wave. We've had a whole wave of, you know, and then it leads to Me Too, and then also Black Lives Matter, and all these. There's been waves and waves of, and wave is the word for Neptune, right?
Yeah.
And so with Jupiter now coming into that experience and joining it, it's like it really potentially is a very forward looking, taking a lot of this dreaming and imagery and dissolving that's been going on and like saying, well, what do we dare to see ahead? Right. That's kind of where I find myself go with it. It's like,
Well, I guess it might turn the wave into a tidal wave.
Mm. Also a possibility, right? Jupiter has this amplification quality. Yeah. Don't we ever need one?
We do. We need a really big shift. I think it's interesting that Pluto hooked up with Saturn.
Right. Yeah. Those two hooked up and now, yeah.
They hooked up and now Jupiter's moved on and saying, okay, I'm going to throw you guys a bone. So you better do something with it because it's an amazing one. It's really interesting the timing that it comes in now when we really need it.
Right. And when we really need a really radical reorientation of what it means to be humans, to be one species among other, like that's the Pisces energy part of Piscean energy is like the chaosmos, you know, rather than the cosmos, the chaosmos.
Right? And, I like it.
And that's Pisces like lives in that. And like Jupiter and Neptune, really, there's an invitation, I think, about how do we experience ourselves as an equal part of an ecology rather than you know, the singularity of the human. It's like, these are the kinds of radical revisionings that we need in Jupiter, Neptune. It really shifts in the entire cosmology of how we experience ourselves, our possible. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. And yeah, we do like there's so much, like there's a lot of politicians just going for it and using that tool of division for their own advancement, which is just awful. It's just so not humanitarian. Mm-hmm. And the media doing that, you know, you've got Murdoch media that they've got so many outlets, each outlet's taking a different position so that they're like ramping it up. But they also get clicks from everyone. It's just like this working against things.
Well, it's like there's been a failure of imagination. It's kind of how I feel about it. It's like there's the projects that one sees in the political world seem to have no imagination of the possibility that we could all be in this together and that we probably have to keep imagining solutions that bring us all through together. It's so interesting. And I'm exposed to lots of different, you know, currents as we all are. But I also think about like the world of the cryptocurrencies and various progressive things and various conservative, all these different spaces that tend to have very utopian imaginations, but quite restricted to us, whatever their particular group is. And very unquestioned assumptions that we can't all move forward together. And I think Jupiter, Neptune, and Pisces is definitely, I mean, like we are all in this together. Like we need stories to emerge, storytelling to emerge that emphasizes how we are together and we have to get along. You know, one of the most interesting quotes I liked that I read recently was in David Abrams' book called Spell of the Sensuous. And it's a deep ecology book. And It talks about what is indigeneity? What is it to be indigenous? And he talks about speaking with various elders. And the consensus in that is that indigeneity is a competency. It's the competency of getting along with who's around you, because that's what you have to do if you stay on the same piece of the land. You've got to figure out how to all get along together because you're in it together. And to me, that feels very Jupiter, Neptune, and Pisces. It's like, how do we widen our imagination? You know, every science fiction thing tends to show it ends up being some group that escapes Earth and everybody else stays. You know, it shows our imagination is so limited about how do we do this together? Not in some utopian escapist way, but what do we need to do in each of our lives? What are the values we need to cultivate? That would be a Jupiter question, right? Like, what are the values we need to cultivate to have the world that we could all come along in? At least that's my kind of thought about
it. Yeah, I like that. That does make it more clear and just sensing into the feeling. Like we do need to have that shift where we are connecting with each other. There's already, I've seen plenty of people picking up on just saying, like, you know, pointing out people that are using division to further themselves and fear and saying, don't buy it. And I'm saying, don't buy it. Don't buy into it. There's another way. What is that way? This is what it is. And I think that's what this will bring through. And the more people that help to facilitate that, the better. Mm. And yeah, that shift, it does take a shift in consciousness and perspective and yeah, that indigenous way of being holistic. You know, we've come from such a place of separation from what is termed earth, which is our body, other people. Looking back at history, it's interesting. I just watched a whole series by Bettany Hughes, one of my heroes and legendary historian, and she went through the British history from the start. And it just shows like everything's really calm while there's lots of land and resources. Soon as that population starts encroaching, it turns and it's all about when you've got something to protect. So we have so many people on the planet now, we can't stay in that way. Like we really need a radical shift that we've never been in this position. We've never had so many people. We're only going to have more. It's interesting seeing it like
so we
that.
We have to find new cosmologies of new values that are
new values
that are very, and Piscean, right? So Piscean value, what would that be? It's there's a lot about sharing, about compassion, about a sense of less of a sense of separation and more of a sense of being a part of a web of embedded relationships. Like that's very, you know, Pisces is very embedded. You know, Pisces, people with strong Pisces signatures often have trouble. Where do I begin and where does the other, you know, there's a blur.
Yeah.
But we need, but at a larger level, a little more of that blur would help a lot because the separateness is so tight right now and the structures of media and capital and politics and all are really currently designed to keep it nice and tight and separate.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I think the Jupiter Neptune is just this really beautiful opportunity to sort of really imagine, you know, use our imaginations.
Yeah. And even if it's just in your own life, dissolving those boundaries and barriers that keep you limited that you've internalized or that maybe are external, but external, surely it's always linked to something internal that you can shift somewhere. Yes, I like it. We've gone over time, but I think it was well worth it. Let's move on I'll just read out a few of the ingresses and things like that, but I thought it was really important to focus in on this because it's such an opportunity. You only get it once every 166 years when they're both in Pisces, the most potent version. So, of course, this is a little bit late. So Aries season did start on March 20. Mercury enters Aries. So we start to get ramping up on that Aries 5, March 27. There's the new moon in Aries, of course, April 1st. Venus enters Pisces, April 5. So starting to have that also Aries, Pisces vibe continue. First quarter moon, opening moon, April 9 in Cancer at 19 degrees. Mercury enters Taurus, April 10. Jupiter conjunct Neptune, big headline, is April 12. And Mars enters Pisces, April 14. full moon in Libra, April 16. And then Taurus season starts April 19. And we have, in terms of the aspects, there's like no trines at all. Lots of conjunctions, definitely some sextiles, not so many squares. So we have got, with these aspects, let's look at some big ones. Venus conjunct Saturn. On March 28th. So that could be like stabilizing, formalizing. I do like Saturn for establishing and formalizing, even though it could also feel like it's not exciting and a bit of like you're getting blocked.
Yeah, I can feel, I think it can feel that way. But the thing is that, you know, there's also Saturn with Venus and it happening in Saturn's sign in Aquarius, it does feel like it can bring a certain amount of objectivity to Venusian passionate entanglements, right? Like there's a, there's a way that Venus, you know, is so much of the passions and Saturn and Aquarius is already, it creates a little more objectivity, a little more space. And then Saturn really says, okay, let's really look at this, right? It's like, okay, you can't, it's almost like you can't get out of Aquarius without facing me first, you know, like
you've got to deal with the Saturn. It's so true.
There's a little bit of an inventory. Whenever Saturn's with a planet, I think it sort of says, okay, let's do an inventory here. Like what are you really working with? What's really happening? You know, it reminds me of like Saturn and Aquarius talking to Venus almost reminds me of like that book, you know, he's not really that into you.
Or, I love that idea. Yes. Yeah. It's a reality check, isn't it? And that's okay.
Exactly.
You can be detached about it. It's like, well, that's good to know. That's helped to be clear about that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That was very useful when they did that book. Because you can say that to people as well. Maybe they're just not that into you, or maybe you're just not into them. Really,
it does create space for the saying.
Yes,
that.
I know, yeah. Yes, and having clear boundaries around the space and communicating. I like that. So let's jump ahead to we've got Mercury Taurus on the April the 18th. Mercury and Taurus conjunct Uranus. I love Mercury Uranus combinations. Next lifetime, I want one. Brilliant. Great for the download. So 13 Taurus, great for those downloads and breaking your mind out of something or pushing an idea through to a next level or exposing, not like being exposed to something and you just get that click if there's something you're working on or want to shift. I guess in Taurus, very practical.
Yeah, I think I think it really also, I've always been thinking about Uranus and Taurus of like kind of unburying things. And like it has that feeling, and Mercury, then, you know, it's like words that bring things out, you know, words that expose and words that open things up, you know, with Uranus and Mercury together. A lot of things, buried things with Uranus and, you know, Uranus and Taurus always is when we have all these archaeological things, like Pompeii was discovered then, the Neanderthal skull, the Lascaux cave painting, all have been in different Uranus and Taurus periods. And this one has had many and has opened up all kinds of, I mean, if just the last few years, including right when it went in, the largest ever child and animal burial site was found right when Uranus went into Taurus. So, but it's been finding after finding. And so with Mercury there, I think about the giving voice, the unburied things having voice, you know, that's kind of a thing and breaking through something. But I will also say, as someone with Uranus Mercury conjunct,
oh, you're so lucky.
I have your dream aspect.
Oh, you do.
it's definitely an untamed Mercury, you know, it's sort of like a feral Mercury that is just willing to say, you know, things and really make a mess sometimes. So
is your Mercury out of bounds as well?
No.
Can you imagine?
Awesome. No, and it's in Libra, so it probably softens it a little bit, but it's, so when I think of Mercury Uranus, I do think of, you know, like really zippy, like breakthrough ideas and things. But there is also a kind of, hubris with the words, like a kind of like, you know, saying what, like I have in my own life had a habit of saying things before I really think about how it's going to go.
What sign is the conjunction?
They're in Libra, oddly enough, but it's like, I think that still the two of out. Them together, they just say, okay, whatever.
I love that though. It's exciting. There's a freshness and there's an excitement and it's stimulating. Yeah. So you gotta do you, boo.
That's right. Thank you for, I appreciate your Aries moon validating that.
No worries. I love it. Well, I do remember I went to the last, and truly it was the last Australian National Astrology Conference, and you were there and you were the star of the show. Like each person I asked, you know, how's the conference gone for you? What were the standout talks? And pretty much everyone said you. And
Wow.
And
nice.
I think partly I was thinking, is that Scorpio moon in there? But this makes sense. I think that's why. I think you really struck everything and got that excitement going. And considering, you know, the audience is mostly people that are much older and you come in and you're younger and you're like extremely cheeky and provocative.
Right.
And I think it's that. And people really responded. They loved it. They loved being excited and being struck. And I think a lot of the old astrology people, they might look, you know, it's like they're in disguise. They're actually pretty wild people. They're very open-minded. Mm-hmm. And, they don't look it. You'd never know, but they really appreciated you doing that, I think.
Oh, that's great. That's good. Thanks. Yeah.
So channel a bit of Jason Holly on that day.
Oh, God. I don't know if that's good advice.
Jab into that. And then we have, just to finish off the month on April 18, also Venus is sextile Uranus. So there's a bit of Uranian goodness going there. And April 18 also Sun square Pluto. So that's the transits for the month. Focus on the goodness, cultivate what you are like putting out into the world and feeding your mind. Like, I think it's so open, that Jupiter Neptune conjunction. Think of yourself like, yes, you are a sponge. So what are you soaking up? How's that affecting your like auric field, all those things? So our next section, we're starting to wrap up now, is the key takeaway and monthly mantra. So I will say my usual for Aries, which is, just do it, like the Nike swish, like goddess Nike, the goddess of victory in all things. Great one to channel. And, be like the Aries and be okay with winning. Be okay with being the best. Be okay with coming first, or someone else doing it if they deserve it. You know, I think a lot of people aren't okay with that fire way. And I see with my fire friends, we can all go, yes, we're awesome. And we high five each other. Even when Sagittarians meet each other, we high five immediately. Like every single time the fire is able to celebrate the self.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and people like some people and signs particularly just for being a Sagittarius. Yay, congratulations. Without a doubt, it doesn't matter where that Sagittarius is from, we get that high five.
Actually, I see. That's interesting.
And some signs can't handle it, or they might like that at first and then they start to not cope at all and see it, read it as egoic, but it's a celebration. It's like it's a burst of really good energy. That's how the fire signs are experiencing it. So channel goddess Nike and be okay with winning.
I love it. Yeah.
What's yours? You ever like?
I was thinking to get like, I think of the, like, I can do it, you can do it kind of thing. And I was thinking for me with the Jupiter Neptune though, like that I kind of want to, you'll think me very Libra to do this, but I can't help it. It's this, we're all in it together. I think that is like, we're all in it together and we can do this would be the Aries piece, right? Like, but we're all in it together and we can do this. Like to me, that is the Jupiter Neptune of the month plus the Aries season that says, I got this, we got, but I think I kind of wanted to go with we on it just because it feels like that. And which does not detract from people having individual acclaim and impossible. I mean, that's the whole beauty of it, right? It's like, if we are the we, then everybody gets a chance to be out in front. Like that's That's natural.
And be okay about it. Like if you pull back the leader, that's the best. You're never going to get anywhere as a group. The leader takes the group, not at the expense of the group. So I think they can work together very well. And that's why it's a one part of the whole. And that part has to be strong, not pulled back, but also not privileged over other things. It just has its role, and where it's healthy and helpful, bust it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I guess like the high five, like it gets the energy going for everyone that gets involved, like, smashing those bodies together in a positive way. Mm. It's like, it makes energy, you know, for everyone.
Yes. It's a boost, back to that booster shot notion.
Elevates not the elbowing someone out of the way. You know, that's the other
great
side
distinction.
Of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's a really nice distinction. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's on your coffee table?
Well, actually, I pulled them out because that was my favorite question on the list.
I think, you know, we're bookish types, Jason. Astrologers are bookish types, if nothing else. So
I couldn't pick between these two, so I'll say them very quickly. But one of them is Saidiya Hartman's book called Wayward Lives, Beautiful Experiments. And it is a really wonderful book. It is an exploration of the lives of people like in the 1880s to 1910s-ish in the US. But it's as she says, intimate histories of riotous Black girls, troublesome women, and queer radicals. So what is really powerful about this to me, and it totally connects to astrology for me, is that she's looking at She kind of looks at the official archive version of these people's lives, right? And so that's like their unemployment records, their social workers' clinical notes, and by those records, it's like they are the failures of society, right? They're the people who aren't working, they won't, you know, and all of that. But then she goes in another layer to find out other things about their lives and reveals how these people were really experimenting with new ways, like being in sexuality in different ways. They were also Black women who said, I don't want to be a maid. That's the only job that was available, right? And they're like, I don't want to be a maid. I loved one of the unemployment records says, you know, reason for leaving. And it just keeps saying job, housework, reason for leaving, too much work, job, housework, reason for leaving, too much. And I was like, and it's the same person though, was like living another life that was like full of the erotic in the biggest sense of that word, like life force and like trying to have life and not just survival. Right. And so it's extremely powerful. And I feel it's a really powerful thing I'm going to use in some astrology stuff, because I do think in our charts also, if we use like the official technique stuff, we tend to judge certain parts of the chart as the failures and derelicts of the chart. You know, this is the bad thing. But they are also living their own life. We've got to get under the official narrative of the chart that technique gives us and move into the imaginal realm where we can see all the different ways that each planet is trying to live life. Like it's trying to live and it's in beautiful, what does she say? Wayward life and a beautiful experiment. So I think this is a just gorgeous, gorgeous book. I've really been enjoying it.
It sounds great. And it makes me think of the Ann Lister again, you know, that attitude.
Yeah, I thought of it when you said that. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And someone it's very like that. Aries. Mm-hmm. Like I know that I don't want this. I want someone. Yeah. This is me. And I am going to go for it. I'll never get it if I comply and won't comply.
Yeah.
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 I like it.
That's a great one. Yeah.
Well, I haven't been reading for a while except, you know, just like rushing over lots of checking details and things like that for my book, which I just handed in on Monday on the equinox. Thank you. but I have got one to share, which is a yoga book, which is BKS Iyengar's Light.
Oh, I know that book. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone, it's a classic. There's like two classics and this is one. And I just think for Aries season, with the Pisces thrown in, it's a nice combination. It's a way of moving your body, getting things flowing, challenging yourself, and it's also opens you up for the wonderfulness that is the conjunction. And it just, it's so great that it explains everything. And Iyengar, of course, and she has pictures, Iyengar, of course, uses bolsters and chairs, like equipment.
Props.
So if you're not that flexible or whatever, it's a lot safer for you and you can start where you are. So there's that. And that's a wrap. We're going to talk about what we've got coming up. I'm going to start with, or I'll start actually with Astrology University, and then we'll see what you have coming up. So head to the events calendar at astrologyuniversity.com. I did check this already, and there's quite a lot happening. Career astrology, career and life direction in astrology, obviously always a perennial favorite career and direction generally. So March 21 to April 15, and that's with Kelly Surtees. These you can always go back to, join, and then catch up. We've got then the lunar nodes as well, always a really bit of a favorite. The lunar nodes, March 30 to April 24 with Mark Jones. So that's a series. Cosmos and Psyche 201, Cycles of Creativity and Expansion, March 30 to April 24 with Dr. Saffron Rossi and Tony Howard. Great combination. Mm. And just going through that amazing book that's so, you know, it's come back into consciousness now as well. Mm. So then we've got Sacrifice, Jupiter and Neptune in Pisces. If you want to deep dive that one that we've been talking about, well worth it to tune in, and tune in as a group would be quite nice. April 2nd, Sacrifice. Yes, Sacrifice and Redemption. That's with Darby Costello. Venus in a Chocolate Mousse. Astrology, Psychology and Philosophy with Dr. Lawrence Hillman. He's awesome. April 16, a mundane economic outlook, inflation and geocosmics. April 23rd, that's with Gianni Di Pose. I quite like Gianni. I listened to one of his and, yeah, really interesting. He talks about cryptocurrency and a few different things. Counseling for Challenging Aspects. So that's a course with Kelly, April 25 to May 20. Dealing with the difficult aspects, and she's a no-nonsense lecturer, and I think she'll have that upshift as well as addressing, you know, the concerns with those. And I'll leave it at that. There's heaps more coming up. Oh, there's one May 4th, Myth and Modern Astrology with Jason Holley.
With me.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, oh, that looks interesting. It's true. So that would be fantastic. I like the picture on that one. So May 4th, that's a one-off web. Oh, it's a course? One-off webinar.
It's a course, yeah. No, it's a course, yeah. It's, I think, four webinars. And it'll be looking at how to make use of myth in consultation with people.
So awesome.
It's really how do we bring it. We'll, of course, be playing with all kinds of the stories, but it'll be very focused on how to really bring it to life in the context of the consultation.
Yeah. Awesome. I think that's really helpful to be able to draw on that, especially with all the Pisces, very transpersonal, imaginal world vibes at the moment. So I'll leave it at that. Awesome. Okay, guys. Well, that's one thing that you've got coming up. Jason, what else do you have coming up? Let's have a look at Jason.
I do have things, which is unusual for me to even think to do this, but I have in Santa Fe, I have a couple of in-person workshops. So if anybody's listening from there, just be in touch with me. That'll be one in April on the Jupiter Neptune and one in early May on the USA Pluto return and how it plays into people's charts. I'm also going to have a small learning intensive retreat in Kauai in July, probably be just like six people. And if somebody's really interested in my work, this is a chance to go really deep in the work with mythopoetic astrology. And then the main thing that will apply to lots of people potentially is I'm going to do a couple of online experiential astrology groups where we explore the pieces of astrology. We'll start with the signs and we work with them experientially. So we'll be doing online, we'll be doing a storytelling and art making, astrodrama, various somatic processes, all to kind of give people their own experience of the archetypes. And then we will all kind of develop and learn new stories that come out of the group. So it's something I've done in Santa Fe for almost a decade. And I've sort of figured out how to do it more online. So I'm excited to open it up. So if people are interested in that, you can always find me at jasonholley.net. And my email is jason@jasonholley.net.
Jason at what was your email? Sorry.
Jason@jasonholley.net. Yeah.
Okay. Jason at jasonholly.net. Well, they all will be fantastic. And yeah, what great timing as well, again, with this vibe and the way that you do things and really take people in and beyond.
Yes.
As well.
Right.
Superstar. Superstar. For me, I have an extra day open for readings and I've got a couple of options for like an annual option to have a subscription. I've like come and check in every month. I'm calling it Illuminate, the Illumination option. And one where it's like check-in seasonally. So like a seasonal power check-in as well as one-off readings. But I would really like to do those ones over time and just have that continuity and walk through, check in. I think that would be very valuable.
Yeah.
And of course, my book's always available. Get onto them because the third one will be out later this year. And that has a lot of, I've lent into the myth a lot as well for that. And yeah, a lot of research and drawn on that and really enjoyed it. Like that was my favorite part.
Yeah.
And that's a wrap. So
all right.
Thank you so much for joining us, Jason. You have been such a pleasure. Thank
Likewise.
You. Yeah. And thank you everyone for listening in. It's been Vanessa Montgomery and Jason Holly for Astrology University. Have a wonderful Aries season. Bye for now. Stay cosmic.
Bye.
Let's take a moment to visit our featured nonprofit for Aries season. This is suggested by Jason. Thank you, Jason. It's called safeplaceinternational.org. On their website, it says, our mission, Safe Place International's primary mission is to support the dignity and self-actualization of the most marginalized members of the globe's refugee community. We seek to significantly improve the opportunities, individual and collective life experiences of these community members. And I like the self-actualization, very Aries on brand. And there's some leadership as well. They have different forks to it. So on another page, it says like why you should donate to Safe Space. Also, there's opportunities to get involved in volunteer capacity as well. Take action. So your donation provides LGBTQIA plus and single mother refugees with food, shelter, clothing, medical care, legal aid, psychosocial support, emotional development, and other support essential to enabling them to rebuild their lives. Your support empowers them to become leaders in their own communities and beyond, really important, by providing employment skills, leadership training, entrepreneurial opportunities, and financial support that allows them to create and lead social impact projects that can positively change their lives and the lives of others. Also, every donation includes a personalized experience that invites you to be part of the change that you're supporting, which I really like as well. Again, very like getting involved, Aries leadership, it's personal and you're not separate. And of course, very topical at the moment as well, a refugee situation. So safeplaceinternational.org, get on board, check it out, check out their website and see if it calls to you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.